Well, I would ask you to find the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. We will pick up where we left off this morning. I know we've been typically going through the Psalms. If you were here this morning, you heard me say we were going to finish this particular sermon. We had 4 points to make. I only set out to do 2. And so tonight I wanted to finish, come back next Sunday evening, and Lord willing, go back to the Psalms where we will consider Psalm 11. But tonight we are going to finish what we began this morning, and we're going to read again for the sake of context, verse 1 down to verse 13. So I'm going to ask you if you're physically able to stand as again we read this passage of Scripture. Mark 7, verse 1 to verse 13. Again, this is the Word of God. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." Let's pray again. Our Father, again we come and again we ask for your mercy and your grace. We ask that your Spirit would do the work in us that we cannot do. We need to understand this word. We need it applied to us in a way that changes us and conforms us to the image of Jesus. And so that is what we ask for now. And we ask that in the process of this and the goal of this would be for the praise and the honor of your name. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we started this morning and we noted that Jesus is there in Capernaum with his disciples. The Pharisees and the scribes come about 90 miles from Jerusalem to see him. They're not coming because they're interested in what he's teaching. They are coming to find fault. They are coming to watch. They are coming to take note of him. And when they get there, they see immediately that his disciples are not following the tradition of the elders. We noted that this morning, and that is a problem for these Pharisees and these scribes. The Pharisees and the scribes had their traditions. They had many traditions, and what they had done is they had taken their traditions and elevated them to the level, really, of over-Scripture. And it was a problem because the Son of God in flesh didn't honor their traditions, and he didn't teach the disciples their traditions. And so this was a problem for them because they adhered to this legalism. And remember, I said this morning, legalism is simply anything that anyone adds to the Word of God or the command of God in a legal fashion to make it the defining standard of right and wrong. It went on then, it still goes on in our own day. It is anything you and I or anyone else adds back in and makes that the measure of right and wrong. That's why I read out of Colossians 2 earlier, where Paul was teaching the Colossians, don't let anyone trick you or mislead you or take you captive by their philosophy with human tradition. He said, you are already complete in Christ. You don't need anyone else. You don't need anything else. In Christ, you have all you need. We're united to the Son of God. And so we don't need anything else. Well, Jesus is confronting these Pharisees and these scribes. Now, they come to confront Jesus, and then he turns the table on them. So we began looking at this idea this morning of confronting hypocritical legalism. We noted two things this morning. I want to review those quickly and then move on to the other two points for this evening. Now, we noted first and foremost that Mark, because he is writing after the fact, writing somewhere probably in the 60s or 70s A.D., this is 30 to 40 years after Jesus. He is writing to not only Jews, but also Gentiles. So he can't just assume these Gentiles would understand all of these things. So in the writing, he gives a parenthetical explanation in verse 3 and verse 4. And that was our first point. He explains the ceremony. He gives an explanation for the problem that the Pharisees had. Notice verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding, that is, clinging tightly to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and the copper vessels and dining couches. In other words, everything they stressed was outward ritual. It was a washing. Literally, the term washing and washings is the Greek word from which we get baptized. Baptizo and baptismos. They baptized these articles. They washed them. They cleansed them because they thought, if I cleanse the cup, I will retain holiness. And they looked at the disciples and said, you are eating with unwashed or uncleansed hands, therefore you are defiling yourself. Beloved, everything for them was outward. They wore the right clothes. They prayed the right prayers. They fasted outwardly. They did everything outwardly and thought, this makes us right with God. That's why Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount attack that viewpoint in Matthew 6. He said, when you pray, don't stand on the street corner like the hypocrites do, praying long prayers. You go in your closet in secret and pray. When you give, don't literally sound your trumpet, don't toot your own horn so that everybody will turn and see. He said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand gives. Give so that only God can see. When you fast, don't mess up your hair and dishevel your face and your clothes and walk around so that everybody sees you and says, oh, what a holy person, they're fasting. He said, no. When you fast, you wash and dress just like any other time and God will see. The Pharisees had boiled everything down to what was outward. And so that is why Mark is saying, here's an explanation of why they were getting so uptight. Their outward ritual wasn't being observed by Jesus and the disciples. So he explains it. And then we noted secondly that Jesus, as he confronts them in a moment, he's going to get to this, but the problem for them was they elevated the ceremony. And notice verse 2. They saw that some of the disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Verse 5, and the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled or unclean hands? For them, it wasn't they're violating the Word of God, it was they're not observing their traditions. We've had these traditions passed down to us. These are the traditions of the elders. And your disciples, the ones that you teach, aren't observing these things. Why? See, again, everything for them was their views, their teachings, their traditions, their practices. It wasn't the Word of God. And so what we see is they were elevating the ceremony. And so that is the whole issue they had a problem with, was the elevation and the fact that Jesus and the disciples wouldn't go along with it. And so we come now to the third point in the sermon, the first this evening. And this is where Jesus is going to step in. They've asked, hey, why aren't your disciples doing this? Now, I take a viewpoint like this. Don't ever ask me a question if you don't want an answer. If somebody asks me a direct question, then they get an answer. So for me, I try to tell people, and I say this at work to some people, now if you ask me a question, you're asking me for an answer. And you may not like the answer I'm going to give you. And I've seen that at times. Maybe you have. Maybe you're that kind of person that, you know, you're not going to necessarily try to start an issue, or somebody asks you a question. And I tell it when somebody asks me a question and I know, okay, now there might be some feathers that are about to get ruffled. I said, now remember, you asked me this question. So I'm going to give you an answer. And that's kind of what Jesus does. They come and they say, why? Jesus says, all right, you want an answer, do you? And we see verse 6. And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, you actors. Remember, this morning I read out of Matthew 23, and he tore them up in Matthew 23. And Matthew 23 hasn't occurred yet in Mark, and Jesus is already saying, you're a bunch of play actors. Now, what Jesus is about to do is our third point, is he redirects them from their traditions to the Scripture. The redirection to the Scripture. Their whole problem is, you're not observing our tradition. And so Jesus is going to simply take them and redirect them back to the Word of God. And he does that several times. Okay? So notice what he says. And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written. As it is written. We know that is a term that Paul uses that is recorded in the Gospels. This is referring back to the written Word of God. It's the Greek word grapho. Grapho, we think of an autograph, right? We sign our name. It is grapho. It's the word from which we get graph, to write, to chart. We graph something, we draw it, we write it out. Lexicography is the study of drawing and writing. So here, Jesus said, it is written. The written Word of God is what is authoritative, and what you're doing is you're making a mockery of it. And then he quotes Isaiah here, and it is a quote from Isaiah 29. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in an empty fashion. It is vain. And they teach as doctrines the commandments of men. So God gave commandments for people to learn and to live by and to elevate, and that be the standard. And yet here is a people, Jesus said, and you're the people, Pharisees and scribes, that honor me with what you say. But your problem is your heart. You don't have a heart for me. You have lips for me. You have dress for me. You have practice that you say is for me, but you don't have a heart for me. You're a bunch of play actors. That's why he calls them hypocrites. And remember, in the Greek culture, a hypocrite was an actor. They played a part. And back then, they didn't have, you know, the special effects on computers. So they had masks that they would wear. They had the mask that was painted with a happy face, and a mask that was painted with a sad face, and a mask that was painted with an angry face. And when they wanted to portray those emotions, they would put on the mask. And so here are the Pharisees putting on the mask, and it looks good, sounds good. The problem is the heart. And Jesus said, this is something that Isaiah prophesied about you hundreds of years ago, roughly 700 years before Christ. Jesus said, you are the targets that Isaiah had in mind, you bunch of hypocrites. He doesn't even stop there, though. That's bad enough. I mean, at this point, you can say, these guys are probably not going, you've got a point, Jesus. I imagine they were red-faced and they were, as we like to say, upset. They were not happy. But he doesn't stop there. Notice verse 8. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. You've left the Word of God. You've left the commandment of God, and instead you have implemented your own tradition. You've elevated it. You're a hypocrite. You're an actor. You act holy. You act like you're everything that you claim, but the problem is your heart is empty. Your worship is empty. Your worship's vain. And you have your teaching, and you're teaching that as a doctrine, but really, it's simply your commands. It's not God's commands. You've strayed away. You've deviated from the commands of God. And instead, what you do is you hold tenaciously to your own teaching. That word there in verse 8, you hold to the tradition of men, that's the same word we see up in verse 3. They hold to the tradition of the elders. That is the word I shared with you earlier. It means to seize or to arrest, to grab and not let go, to keep. Jesus says, you don't have a problem letting go the commands of God. But now you get those commands of men, and boy, you're going to hold tightly to that. Then he goes on in verse 9. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. It's not enough that they let the commandment of God go, but then they reject it. They say they love God, but yet they let the command of God go, and then they turn around and reject the command of God. Why do they do that? They do it in order to establish their own tradition. They reject God's command. They declare God's command as invalid or not pertaining to themselves. They annul it by their own traditions and beliefs. You know, when I worked at the police department, and even at the city, and it's still the case, and I know Carrie would probably echo this, maybe some of you would that worked on the base for years, you have rules. You have what's called general orders or standard operating procedures. And you can have them put down on paper. But if whatever's put on paper isn't followed, and instead you follow something else, guess what you're going to be judged by? Not what's on paper, what you practice. Because what you adhere to in practice is really the policy you follow, no matter what's on paper. That's why you've got to make sure your actions follow what is written in your policy, or otherwise your policy's null and void, and you void it by what you do. And Jesus says what you're doing is you're annulling the Word of God. You're rejecting the very command of God because you establish yourself as the authority. Beloved, do you see the problem here? Remember back in John, hold your place here, look with me just a moment. Look back at John 5, just a moment. John 5. John 5, look at verse 36. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. Now he's talking about John the Baptist. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? See, he called them out there. He said, you search the scriptures. They were students of what the word said. They studied it. Remember I said about the scribes? They were sticklers. The lawyers were not lawyers like we think. Lawyers were ones that were skilled in the law, the scribes, the lawyers, the Pharisees. They studied the scriptures diligently. They could tell you what it said, but the problem was they didn't believe it. They didn't know God. They had not heard his voice in the Word of God. They knew what Moses said, but they didn't know what Moses said, if you understand what I'm saying. Jesus said, if you really believe the Word, you would believe in me because the Word testifies about me. So when we see over in Mark 7, these are the ones that knew what it said. And yet he says, you reject the Word of God. You're rejecting the commandment of God. Why? Because you don't love the God of the commandment. Instead, you're trying to establish your own authority. Back in Mark 7, notice one more passage here. Verse 10. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. He's quoting Moses. You know what he's quoting? The Big Ten, right? The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. I mean, that is the heart of the law. Honor your father and your mother, and if you don't, you should be put to death. The one who reviles father or mother deserves death. So notice what he says. He starts off with Isaiah, and then he ends up with Moses. Is that significant? Yes. Because the Old Testament scriptures were primarily categorized in two ways. The law and the prophets. And he says, the prophet Isaiah is representative of the prophets. Moses is the one who God used to pen the law. In other words, all of the Old Testament is being disregarded by you so that you can establish your tradition. You see, here they come, right? They're coming from Jerusalem. We notice your learners, they're not following our traditions. Why aren't they following their traditions? And Jesus says, you bunch of hypocrites. You claim to love God, but you're vain worshipers. You know what you're doing? You're rejecting God. You're setting yourself up as God because you violated the Word of God. In four verses, he references them back to the written Word of God. Four times, he leads them back. Verse 6, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, as it is written. Verse 8, you leave the commandment of God. Verse 9, you reject the commandment of God. Verse 10, Moses said, honor your father and your mother. He is redirecting them back to the Scripture. Beloved, let me ask you a question. I'm going to go from preaching to meddling. How many of us claim to love God but spend almost no time in Scripture? How many of us would know right off the bat if somebody came to us and they brought a man-made tradition or teaching, we would know it right off that it's not Scripture? Instead, if we're not careful, we can get a little bit of Bible on Sundays, maybe a little bit on Wednesdays. Maybe we'll pray a little bit during the week, but our lives get too busy. And instead, we elevate our own thoughts. You know, God knows how busy I am. I'll catch up with it later. After all, I've got one life to live. I've got to live my life now. I've got to enjoy it while I can. If we're not careful, we can fall into the same trap as the Pharisees and the scribes. Maybe we don't push our thoughts on everyone else, but if we're not careful, we could elevate our own pursuits and our own dreams and our own desires over the level of Scripture. And so we've got to be careful. Jesus never, ever, ever directs us away from Scripture. He always directs us back to Scripture. Matthew did it. Paul did it over and over again. John did it. Peter did it. The writer of Hebrews did it. The Word of God is from the God of all creation, the Father. And so we've got to make sure we understand the Word of God. If we really want to worship God, if we really truly love Christ, the Spirit is going to always direct us back to the Word that He penned, He used men to write. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Theopneustos. If we're going to know God, we must know the Word. So we see Jesus redirect them back to the Scripture. And then lastly, we see the denunciation of the hypocrites. Jesus denounces them. He denounces the hypocrites. And this is brazen of what they're doing, and Jesus is about to call them on it. Verse 11. But... Now, remember what but is, right? So, contrast. He's just really gotten on them because they've left the Word of God. They've rejected God's Word. And he says, but you say, God said, honor your father and your mother. But you say, God said, hold your parents in high esteem. But you say, is what he's doing. If a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, and thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. See, the Pharisees had a tradition called Corban. And this tradition, logically in their own minds, allowed the Pharisee to escape caring for the parents. Now, Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy 21, those are the passages Jesus referenced earlier, said that a child had to care for their parents and honor their parents, revere their parents. And if they didn't honor the parent, if they rebelled against the parent, they were worthy of death. Well, the Pharisees had possessions. They had stuff. They had money. And so, you know how they got out of having to spend their money to care for their parents? They would say, we would like to care for you, but everything we have has been designated Corban, That meaning this. This is God's. This is God's stuff. We would like to care for you, but this is God's. We can't possibly give this that is God's to you. So, I'm sorry. But now they didn't have a problem spending it on themselves, because after all, they were God's people. They were God's ministers, and they're only taking care of God's people with God's property. And they couldn't take care of their parents. See, it's a loophole. It's a legal loophole. And they had no problems. They didn't have a conscience doing that. They would watch their parents do without in order to keep their money. They were greedy. They didn't want to give their money away. They didn't want to care for their parents and honor God by caring for their parents. Instead, they were disobedient to the Word of God, and they manifested that they only merited death. Here is the end of the matter, and I've already alluded to it, and this is it. They loved money more than they loved God. They loved their possessions more than the God that gave them the possessions. If they really loved God, they would love God's Word. If they really loved God, they would love God's Word. Again, look with me at the book of John, John 14. This passage comes to mind, but let's notice what John 14 says. John 14. Look at verse 20. John 14, 20. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, it's also Thaddeus, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. We could look at other passages in the Scripture, but you see clearly, Jesus says, if you love me, you're going to obey me. You're going to honor my word. You're going to keep my word. Now, we know that our issue is that we don't keep God's word perfectly. Right? That's a problem for anyone that is going to try to be justified by obedience. Thank God for grace and mercy. Thank God that although we can't keep the law, Jesus kept it for us. And now that righteousness is credited to us. But beloved, a fruit that we have been justified is now we want to obey God's word. There is a desire in our hearts to love God and to obey God and love one another. And we're not perfect and we fail and we stumble. But you know what we do? By grace, when we do that, we repent. We get up, we confess our sin, and we keep walking with God. We don't look for loopholes to get out of obedience. There was a time in my life, and maybe some of you can identify with this. I lived with this mentality, and I've heard other people say it. Well, where's the line where I sin? I mean, how close can I get to something and not step over that line and sin? I mean, I want to enjoy life, but I don't want to sin. So how close can I get up to that electric fence before I start feeling the current? Because I don't want to get shocked, but I want to push the boundaries just a little bit. That was so immature. And I know I've heard other Christians say that. Where do I know where the line is? Beloved, when you and I are walking in the Spirit, we want to flee every appearance of evil. That's the difference. We don't want to sin. None of us, listen to what I'm about to say. If you have that desire in you, you know what that is? Grace. Because none of us wants that naturally. You know what we want naturally? Our own way. Our own kingdom. John Calvin says, every man fancies that he's a king and has a kingdom in his breast, in his heart. And not just men, ladies, you too. Our desire is we want to establish ourselves as preeminent, naturally. We're hostile toward God. And the Spirit of God does a work in us where He takes out the heart of stone and He puts in a heart of flesh. And now we want to worship God. We want to love God. We want to obey God. These Pharisees didn't care about that. They had their traditions because they thought that they could show themselves worthy. They washed themselves. They wore their long flowing robes. They dressed the right way. They used the right words. They looked all pious and religious. And they made money at it. And they didn't let anybody touch their money because that's Corbin. You can't have that. That's God's. And they looked and sounded pious doing it. And they did not even have a heart to care for their own parents. And Jesus says, you bunch of hypocrites. You don't even let anyone do anything for your father and your mother. And notice verse 13. You make void the word of God by your own tradition that you have handed down. You make the word of God void. They knew what the word said. That's how they got the loophole. Their traditions allowed themselves a free pass in their own minds. Their tradition allowed them to neglect the Word of God, to nullify the Word of God, and void the Word of God. And notice this, it's not just Corbin. You see how verse 13 ends? And many such things you do. Every time they bumped up against the commandment of God they didn't like, you know what they went to work doing? How can we get around this? How can we avoid this? How can we avoid it? Well, you know what they did on the Sabbath day? The Sabbath day was a day of rest, but they made it all these rules, and just one of them, you've probably heard this before, you could only take so many steps from your residence. Okay? Only so many steps. So what they would do before the Sabbath day would approach, they would go all of these steps, and they would leave a personal item. And that personal item established residency. And then they could go from that and take all these other steps, leave another personal item, that established residency. And they could go from point A to point B, taking more steps than were required on the Sabbath, but they got around it because that now established their residency and it just extended it. Loopholes. Does sound more like lawyers the more I think about it. Lawyers in our day. The point is simply this, beloved. You and I must have a heart for God and His Word. Listen to what the ESV Study Bible said. The Pharisees are hypocrites for two reasons. First, their actions are merely external and do not come from their hearts, which are far from God. Hence, verse 6. And their teachings are not from God, but reflect the tradition of men. Let me say that again. Their actions are merely external and do not come from their hearts, which are far from God. And their teachings are not from God, but reflect the tradition of men. You see the difference? Jesus elevates the Word of God. And that is the standard for what is holy and unholy, acceptable and unacceptable, while the Pharisees reject the Word of God and elevate their traditions and make that the standard for what is holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous. The Jews were unholy and unacceptable in God's eyes because they broke God's Word and His law in order to uphold their traditions and feed their sinful desires. And beloved, every time you and I do that, if we ever get to the point where we elevate our own thoughts and our own traditions for the sake of tradition, we can do the exact same thing. We can do the same thing. That's why if we ever have a thought, if we ever have a tradition that bumps up to the Word of God, we better be careful we're not looking for loopholes. I think I've shared this with you before. And I don't say this. This is just history. When I went to my second church, they had a practice in the bulletin and in the church newsletter. So-and-so gave money in memory of. So-and-so gave memory in honor of. They wanted their name in the bulletin that they gave. They wanted their name in the church newsletter that they gave. Being the patient person that I am, I said, I'm going to preach through the Sermon on the Mount. It took a year to preach through three chapters. You think I'm going slow now? But I knew I was going to come to Matthew 6. Where Jesus says, when you give, don't you let your left hand know what your right hand does. And I stood up in front of the church and I didn't ask the deacon's permission. I said, this practice is in violation of the Word of God. We're not doing it anymore. And you would have thought I got out the match and the lighter fluid and was going to burn the church down. That caused no little uproar. Because that's what we've always done. Beloved, can it be any clearer that that's a violation of Scripture? Because if somebody's name got left out of the newsletter or bulletin by an honest mistake, do you think they said, oh, that's no big deal? I want it known I gave in memory or honor of somebody. I want them to know. And everybody else that reads the church bulletin or newsletter. And my point is simply this. We've got to make sure when we have our traditions and the things we hold dear, do they line up with the Word of God? Do they square with Scripture? And if not, we've just got to be honest to say, I shouldn't be doing that. That's not right for me to be doing. I know we do those things we like doing. Those things we hold dear. Those things we've always done. But if we make void the Word of God in order to hold on to our traditions, we're no better than they are. It's exactly what Jesus says. You void the Word of God in order to uphold your traditions. He said, Brother Ken, what do you think about what we're doing? We're not doing anything that wrong. Because you'd already gotten rid of me because I'd already done something about it. But beloved, we've got to be careful. We need to be careful not to be duped by others and not to elevate our traditions. We need humility in our own opinions. And we need to exercise care if we ever begin to look down our noses at others that may have differing views than we have. It is dangerous if we go to elevate our own opinions or traditions over the Word of God. So may God bless us in the days ahead, individually and corporately. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day that we've had worshiping you. Thank you for the work you have done for us in Christ. I pray that we would take to heart this passage. That we would not be blinded by our own views of self-righteousness or our own love and affections for sentimental traditions or sentimental views, if they are not in accord with your word. May everything we believe and everything we do be in line with what you revealed in your word. Lord, this is what we want for your glory and your honor. We pray that this week would be a day when our week when we would walk with you and that you would use us to spread the gospel and glorify yourself on this earth. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.